Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 478, Focus. Minister Tanya Schnitz delivered this message on Sunday, June 28, 2026, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Today's sermon is called Focus. That's it, focus, exclamation point, focus. We have to have a focus on who God is, on what Jesus has done, on what he's calling us to do. So we want to just get our binoculars here sharpened up so that we can focus on the long haul, on what we need to do, on the perseverance of it all. And so, Father, I just invite you in to speak through my mouth. I pray, God, that you break this vessel and that you show your glory through me, that it be all of you and none of me, that they would hear your voice through me, that it would be the voice of the Father. And I thank you for this word that I'm about to speak. I thank you for what you have for us today. I thank you for the blessings that will come out from hilariously giving. I thank you for us to hilariously give of our time, to give of our talents, to give of our giftings that you've given us, and to give of our insufficiencies, which we know we have. We know we don't know how to do what you want us to do, but God, through us, you can show your glory to the world. And so I pray that they see themselves as a broken vessel, as an able-bodied person to open their lips and speak your word to someone else, someone who's going off into hell. Someone who's going off the cliff and going to not make it into the kingdom of God. We have an opportunity today to help that person, to extend a hand from the kingdom of God and to bring them over to the kingdom of light from darkness. Wow, what power. What power, God, that you want to show off today. You want to show off today your power in this world, but thinks that it's going down and thinks that darkness is going to reign, but it is not, because there are some of us that are willing to be broken vessels. And I pray that everybody's hand is up in their heart, that we want to be that light into the dark. Thank you, God. Thank you for this word. Help us to focus and be ready. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. All right. Already getting a call on your heart, I hope. Here's the kingdom of heaven mandate, in case you've forgotten or you don't know it yet. There's a mandate from heaven. And I, for one, have heard the call, and I pray you do as well. The ministry of Jesus was initiated in Luke 4, 18 and 19. It was prophesied out of Isaiah 61, thousands of years before Jesus came. And once he came, he stood up in the temple and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." When he said that, he closed up the scroll and he sat down, and they heard. A lot of hearts opened up and said, "Oh, wow, that's somebody. That's somebody that's carrying something from heaven." So we also know that he sent out his disciples equipped with all authority to do the same ministry work. Matthew 10:1 tells us that Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. He's calling. It's okay. There's a phone ringing over here. God's calling. He's calling. Yeah. And so then he said in Matthew 10:7-8, "As you go." Does anybody here stay back at the church? Does anybody here go home and take a nap? It says, "As you go." That's our mandate as well. As you go. It does not offer us an opportunity to say, "I want to sleep, God." He says, "No, you go and you preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." Who in this room has freely received from God? Who has received salvation? We've received the best gift in the world, right? The best gift in the world is that our lives have been turned around from darkness to light. He has set us free, and it didn't cost us anything to be saved, but it cost us everything to follow Jesus. To be a disciple of Jesus is a step above being a follower of Jesus. I've changed my wording when I go in public. I'm no longer a Christian. Oh, I'm a Christian. Because Christians today don't really look like Jesus, right? They're sitting in churches that are underneath false teachings. And so we don't want to be Christians anymore in the term of the world. Okay, so I switched it to follower. I'm a follower of Christ. Yes, I'm a follower of Christ. But did you know something? Followers of Christ still can make a choice to not follow Jesus the right way. They can be 20 feet behind him. There was the three of the 12 that were always right with him, but there was nine others that kind of followed in the distance. Even Judas followed even further behind, but he was a follower of Jesus. Well, I don't know about you, but I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I want to be a disciple of Jesus that is so close to Jesus that I look like him, that I imitate him, that I model him, and that people see him in me. That's what I want to be. That's who I want to be. And Lord, help me get there. And I pray that for you as well. So he said, freely you receive, freely give. So let's do that today. All right, so then we see in the next chapter, Matthew 11:5, Jesus was sending back a report to John the Baptist in prison. Remember, he got put in prison for speaking the truth? Remember that persecution he was under? And he started to wonder, are you it? Are you it? Because why am I sitting in prison? Why am I under persecution? Why am I locked in here? Are you it? He was shaken for a moment. We get that way when we're going through something, don't we? We start to question, Jesus, is this right? Is this, I could be out there preaching your word, but I'm in here. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But Jesus sent a report to him that said, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. That's all he needed to hear. I'm okay in here. It's all right. I did my part. But Jesus said, it's happening. It's happening right now. Believe me. So in Mark 16, 15 through 18, here's the Great Commission. And I say it to you. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. Do you know that half the time when you go to the mall and you're sitting at the table eating your sandwich and the person right over there is not going into heaven? Doesn't that bother you? It bothers me terribly to know that they're not going to make it, that I had an opportunity to say something and I didn't because of, I might look bad, I might look different, I might get persecuted. They're not going to remember me anyways. They're going to remember Jesus. I don't even bother to tell them my name half the time because it doesn't matter. It's Jesus. And if he puts it on your heart to say, have a blessed day, whatever level, do it. Do it. Everybody around us, they're drowning. This world is drowning, right? All right, so I love being a hilarious giver, by the way. Hilarious. I do a lot of laughter because for 30 years in my trials, there was no laughter. There was no joy. It was oppression. And so when Jesus hits me, I am laughing away. And when he gives me a number, I am laughing, going, that can't be you. I have no money. But it's okay because he's going to bring it back, right? And so we're grateful. We're grateful. But we should be joyful. The world should see. I mean, I'm at the tent meeting, and people were looking at me because I'm laughing so hard. I was down on the ground laughing. People came up to me later and said, you are really full of joy. Well, praise God. I spent so many years not being joyful that that's what bubbles out now is laughter and joy because that's what I freely received from God. So anyways, he says those people are going to be condemned. Well, we don't want that. So, and it says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak a new tongue. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people. Come on, say it with me. And they will get well. Amen. Right? This hand, everybody look at your hand, right or left, whichever one you use. Look at your hand. Do you realize this is a power vessel? This is a vessel for the power of God. He said that the power is going to come through our hands when we believe. I believe it. I'm going to touch you, ma'am. I'm going to touch you. The power of God is going to come through my hand to her because he said so. He said so. Receive it. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So I was at the tent meeting, and that's what I found myself saying in the fire tunnel to people. Look at your hand. Oh, my goodness, it's a vessel of power. It's a vessel of power. Don't be afraid to lay your hand on somebody. Don't be afraid, because God said the signs will accompany those who believe. Is that you? Amen. Amen. Come on. Are we getting excited here? I can't wait to go out. Hallelujah. I also want you to know we have these healing bookmarks at the back table. You're welcome to take one, two, whatever. They're like a calling card. So today when we go, I want to take a few of these. And if we find somebody that really is interested in wanting to be healed, we can give them this. If one on one side talks about our church and being equipped to follow Christ, but be a disciple of Christ. But on the back is scripture and a healing prayer. And I debated about whether to read it, but I think you all can read. So grab one and read it. Because if you're not aligned up with this, you're not lined up to the word of God. Because this prayer is scripture. It is scripture. It says what we believe. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe the power of God is in him and thus through me, because I am a believer. And it lines up with scripture, because it is scripture, just not written out as scripture form. So grab one of those for yourself. And when people pray that, and this is my belief, when we go to the mall, when we give them one, when they pray that and they're debating whether to come, it is a seed of faith that will move in their lives, whether we see it or not. God's going to speak through that, and he's going to bring people to an understanding of healing for their lives. So we're going to be using those today as a tool as well. All right, so as we've been studying in the book of Hebrews, our cell groups have been really poring over the book of Hebrews. Who is loving that? It's a very deep, wow, just Pastor Sarah and myself. Wow, come on. Who is loving the deep word of God? It's deep and it's good. As we've been pouring out over this book, we know that chapter 11 is the Hall of Faith. And those names written in there are people like John the Baptist. He's not in there, but he should be, right? Because he was in persecution and he was feeling so, having a hard time. But their faith in God over their situation is what brought them to the Hall of Faith. And so we're going to move into Hebrews 12 today. And I love that. I was sitting there and the Lord said, 12 tribes, 12 disciples, 12. There's a meaning in this chapter, 12. We are part of this. This chapter is for us. And so we're going to just open up our Bibles and we're going to start verse 1. I'll give you a minute to find your Bible or your phone so you can follow along. It's going to be on the screen as well. But it's always good to read it in your own Bible. I don't know about you. I use paper. I use the in my hand word of God, and it brings me comfort. He is in there. It is the living word. Jesus is the living word. And when we place our hands on our Bibles, the living word is speaking to us. And I don't know about you, but that's exciting. Very exciting. Today I'm using my cell phone. I'm sorry, but I can't read my print up here in the lighting. So I'm going to have the phone lit up. All right. Verse 1 starts out, therefore. What does that mean, Pastor Don? That means go back and look at what he was talking about, right? He was talking about the men and women of faith. And so now he's talking to us. Therefore, pay attention to what I said in that chapter, because this chapter is for you. All right. So since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Okay. So sin, it is in the world. It's been in the world since the beginning of time, Adam and Eve. And sin entangles us. Sometimes we're just walking and we don't even realize it, but there's vines coming around our legs and we don't even know it. It's very slight, but it's starting to entangle us. And the more we entertain it and the more we get involved with it, it really can trip us up. And it can stop the move of God, because sin is the opposite of what God wants, holy. And so it says that we are supposed to throw off anything that entangles us. So what is that for me? What is it for you? We should be asking God that. Is there something that's entangling me that is keeping me from being holy, that is keeping me from being a disciple of Christ? Is there something that I need to throw off? I don't want to live like the world. I want to live different. I want to live in the hall of faith. If they were to continue to write the Bible and write our names down, would your name be there? I want my name there, not so people remember my name, but that I'm written in the book, right? And so we have to see it that way. The sin entangles us and it keeps us from walking in the holiness of God. So now he says right after that, okay, if we throw off the sin that's entangled us, now we can run. Who loves running? Not me. All right, but we can run with perseverance. That's me. If I'm going to run, it's going to be, I'm coming. Give me a minute. But I'm going to run it with perseverance. I'm going to keep on going because he said keep on going. I'm going to catch my breath eventually and catch up. Just wait for me. But we had that happen at the tent meeting, by the way. We got up and started doing a conga around the place, and we were dancing, and it was all good because I was leading until I said to the six-year-old, go ahead. And then she took off, and I'm yelling, whoa, we're older, slow down. But she was zooming around the tent. She loves it. She's with the tent families, and she loves it when people do stuff like that because that's fun, right? It's like a child. It's being happy and joyful in Jesus. And I don't care what people think about that. I love it. And when we do it in here and we have strangers, they don't always come back. But that's okay. It's the joy of the Lord, right? It's the joy of the Lord. It is our strength. And so we run with perseverance in whatever's going on. We want to be running after Jesus. That is the only time you'll catch me running, is after Jesus. But it says that there's a race marked out for us. What is your race? What is your race and what is the finish line? The finish line we all have received, I'm going to heaven. That's the finish line. But what's your race look like in between? Are you sitting down? Are you taking really long breaks? Sorry, God, I'll deal with you next week. I'm doing this right now. Sorry, God, I got this TV show I'm hooked into right now. I'll shut it off at the end of the series. God, I'm going to get there, just not today. What is our race that we're running? What is he marked out for us? What are you supposed to be doing? And the more you go into the calling, the more the race is getting defined and the more the distractions are falling away. The more they fall off. You're like, I'm not even interested in that TV show anymore. I don't even turn on the TV anymore. Oh, come on. Well, how can I have given up that TV show? It used to entertain me. Not anymore. Because Satan enters in entertainment. Entertainment. Yeah. And so anyways, God has a plan marked out for us. And so listen to his voice, because when he gives you a command of stop watching Grey's Anatomy, that was mine. I had all of them. My husband bought me for Christmases. And I'm sitting there and God says, knock, knock. I'd really like to talk to you. Okay, but right now I'm just relaxing. Yes, but why are you watching this trash? It's just trash. It's just trash. Why are you wasting your time? And I'm telling you, quickly, shut that off. Right in the middle of the show, right in the middle of the season, right in the middle of it all. And I shut it off and he said, get rid of them. And I was like, but they cost a lot of money. It's okay. Don't need them. I threw them away. I threw them away because I didn't want to give them to anybody else. If God told me to stop, I don't want to give them to somebody else and cause them to be entangled, right? And so even an innocent hospital show can be ungodly. It can be because he's told me. He told me to get rid of it. And if I did not, what would I be walking in? Rebellion. Rebellion. That's what rebellion is. If God says, go do something and you don't, label big OR on my forehead, rebellion. I don't want to be that. I want to walk with what he has for me. So the race is marked out for each of us. I can tell you the mandate is for each of us. It does not say except for Janie. It says all. It says all. Go, go, go. Preach, preach, preach. So I think I hit that. All right. So we go to verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. This is where the title focus. The person we need to focus on is Jesus. I don't want to look like Sarah. I don't want to look like Don. I want to look like Jesus. So when you are in discipleship, you should not come out looking like your disciple maker exactly. Right? You should look like you with Jesus in you and the same faith that unifies us. But we all are different. And God wants to use our differences to impress the world, because as different as we are, Elizabeth and I, we have the same message in our hearts. And so as different as we look, she's soft, gentle, whatever. And when she's not, she's not. But but you know what I'm saying? We should look the same in the spirit realm, unity-wise. But I am not glittery and dressed up. I am in jeans and I put a wristband on today. So that's me. That's different than her, right? It's okay. If Aaliyah was here, I would definitely make fun of the glitter that falls all over. But fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. What does that mean? Pioneer, we know what pioneer means, right? Somebody that came ahead of us and broke the ground and made a way. And Laura Ingalls is my favorite pioneer. She pioneered. I wanted to be just like her for so long until I found out there was no microwaves. Forget that. I don't want to cook every day, three meals a day without a microwave. So, yeah, I'm fun. but the perfecter of our faith. This is where I really want you to hear. What is perfecting of our faith? Only he can do that. Only he could get me to stop watching what I was watching. Only he can be the one to bring my faith to a place of perfection. And that takes your life. It's really your life. It's sanctification in the Word of God. He is always changing us if we're keeping our eyes on him, if we're focused on him. He is perfecting our faith so that we will be ready to enter into, hello, Father, I'm in the throne room, right? We want to be living in holiness. We want to be living in righteousness. We want to look like Jesus, and the Father will welcome us in. But if we still have those open sin things, those dark spots are there, and we're not living in holiness. And I for one, want to work on that. I am always asking God, is there something I should be working on? Because it says this is what he did. For the joy set out before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So wait, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith had joy to go to the cross? Are you kidding me? That just doesn't make sense in a world thought, does it? But he was looking forward at the perspective of when it's over, this is what all my children are going to be here. All who are saved will be here with me. He went through the shame. He went through the mocking, the spitting, the beating, the rejection, the bitterness. He went through all of that because he knew there was joy when you and I get there. Wow, that's the perfecter of our faith. So we should be wanting to be like that. We should be wanting to perfect our faith so when people see us, they don't see the sin that I'm committing or tangled up in, or they hear I'm choking because of the sin I'm in. You can hear people that are choking, right? You can hear when they're caught up in their sin. You can hear their voices different in the spirit realm. I often hear the oppression because I've lived there. And so when someone's entangled in sin, you can hear that in their voice when they're talking to you with their words. And God has set me free from that. He perfected me in that area so I can help other people get perfected in that area. He wants to help people to become the way he is. All right, so when we go through something, this is a healing service. When we go through something in our bodies that need healing, that's what this service is for. But you know what? Healing is not only physical. It's mental, it's emotional, it's spiritual, and physical. And so I'm addressing all of it. Because if we live right with Christ and we focus on him, we can be free. We can be free, and none of the other stuff matters anymore, right? If we're right spiritually, the other stuff will fall off because he said so. When we lay hands on the sick, they will recover and their spirits will become right with God. It's his calling card, basically, right? All right, number three. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So when somebody does something to you, It's really easy to get offended and get angry and say, well, I'm going to show you. I will turn that right back on you and you'll see how that feels. That's the flesh. That's what we want to do. But we're being perfected here, right? Oh, Jesus, what would you do? What should I do? How can I get past that to be like you? And he's going to tell you something completely different. He's going to tell you to love him. He's going to tell you to do whatever it is you don't want to do that you're fighting about in the first place, because it brings peace, right? When you live with somebody, maybe an unsaved child or spouse or something, they do things all the time that anger and offend. But you know something? You have an opportunity to practice and persevere in being perfected when that happens. And it happens to me all the time. Happens to me all the time. And I choose to allow Jesus to work through me instead of, and it seems like you're giving in, but you're not. You're actually raising yourself up. When you say, that doesn't bother me anymore. I'm going to let it be. I don't care. It's okay. Love, 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 love. They're just astounded because that's not the way you used to be. But it is how Jesus is, and you're being perfected. And so it's an amazing training ground for us to press in every time, every single time, because they don't have Jesus. They can't choose something different than what they want to do. But we can. We have a choice. We can be selfish, or we can allow Jesus to work. And that's the perspective we need to keep, that forward perspective. If I love on them, they're going to see Jesus and they're going to start changing too. And it's true. And they do. And they start saying, wow, I'm a little happier today. Because I'm telling you what, the devil just wants to torment us in every way that we can. And if we go into the offending and we go into the anger, we're tormented. There's no peace there. So we should consider what Jesus did and stay focused on him, because it says then we will not grow weary and we will not lose heart. And that's really where we want to be focused, right? I'm tired of being weary. I did 30 some years in weariness, and now I have a choice, and I'm going to choose Jesus every time. And if I don't, then I stumble and it entangles me for a second, and then I shake it off, I repent, and I move forward. Isn't repentance a gift? It says in Galatians 6:9, do not grow weary in doing good. Do not grow weary. Do not grow weary, because perseverance is long-term patience. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. And guess what? You can have as much as you want. It's right there in the fruit basket. Instead of picking joy, because at that moment, that's really what you'd like to have. I'd rather go to the beach. But choose patience. And when you choose patience and then it perseveres over a long time, you win. You win every time. In verse 4, it says, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Oh, that's kind of something, isn't it? How many of you have thought about going to the cross for somebody else? I know I have not. It says, in our struggle against sin, that phrase is acknowledging the ongoing battle that believers face against sin in the world. When sin came into the Garden of Eden, it was through rebellion and disobedience. And so one of the roots of sin produces the fruit of sickness, pain, and oppression. Oh, there's the healing service message right there. See, sin creates the fruit of sickness. So if you're battling sickness, let's get rid of the sin. Let's get rid of the sin in the world. Jesus already paid for it. So why do we want to be entangled by it? We don't. We want to be free. Woohoo! Free. And when we can be free, the sin can't entangle us like it used to. And the healing comes. The healing comes in our bodies. I've experienced that. 3.5 years walking it out, but I'm free. And Jesus is good because he walked me through it and helped me to choose differently for my own self. Let's see. That I said, thus the need for healing, right? Because sin is in the world, that's when all the terrible things came in. But Jesus paid for it. And if you recognize that, you can be free from it. Yet all of this that we go through here is nothing compared to what Jesus did while he walked the earth, right? It was nothing for the constant rebuking from the Pharisees, the constant rejection from people. He went around healing all who were oppressed of the devil, but I'll bet there was a lot who were oppressed of the devil that didn't want freedom and rebuked him and mocked him and went the other way. We still see that today, right? When we go out, if somebody rejects you, don't take it personally. They're rejecting Jesus, not you. Right? I just shake those things off. It's like it used to bother me, but it doesn't anymore because I was like, well, I tried. God, it's on you now. That's your kid, not mine. I didn't create their problems. Satan did. All right, so the word not yet, he says, you have not yet. That means that the struggle is ongoing. It's recognized right here. Our struggle will not end until the end of time when Jesus returns. It is ongoing, and that means there's more potential for resisting. Isn't that wonderful? Let's just change our perspectives. If we realize that everything we're going through is making us more perfect for God, whether he brought it on or not, he did not. Anything that comes on that's bad for us, that's really bad, like sickness, that was brought on by the devil. But our perspective can change that God's going to use it and turn it for good. He's going to show us a way to get untangled. And we're going to be free from that. And the rest of our lives will be free from that. It's like the one leper that came back to thank Jesus found out that it was his faith that set him free. So for the rest of his life, he'll use his faith in that area, right? And so when we get that perspective of, oh, poor me, I'm going through so much, I'm having such a hard time, think of Jesus. And he said, we're going to have to keep resisting, right? We're going to keep resisting. And so what does the word resist mean? It means it's a warfare word. It is a defensive stance. In Ephesians 6, the word stand is spoken four times. And we are to stand firm against the things that are plaguing us. So what does that look like? No, it plant your feet, stand against the things of the devil. You can do that. You can fight. It doesn't feel like you can, but you can with Jesus. Jesus gives us everything we need, and we can just put up our shield of faith. Keep growing your shield of faith and hook it with somebody else's who's in faith and fight. Fight, because you'll win. He's already showed you the ending. We're victorious unless we fall down and whine and cry. Because when we do that, we've taken the wrong stance. We have to resist, resist, resist. And I'm going to tell you, I was preaching, writing this for preaching, and I got attacked a lot this week. And I'm out there screaming and yelling on the lawnmower going, ah! I'm resisting. This is so fun. I love resisting. You know, a week ago, I had to put my dog down after almost 13 years. And then 2 days later, my car like broke. I pulled out of the driveway and I thought I left half my car at the, you know, I'm like, oh, it's still with me, but it sounded like it's gone. So yeah, there's that. And then I'm driving my lawnmower and a rock kicks up and breaks my picture window in my living room. And Tim's on the inside of the house screaming and I'm on the outside going, oh. And he comes out like this, and I just got on the mower. I said, can't right now, because I had to pray. Because the minute I would let go with my mouth, the frustration in both of us would have been ugly. Just, are you kidding me? It's like a $1,500 window, at least. I don't know. Monday, I'll find out. But I found out in finishing mowing the lawn on the lawnmower, speaking in tongues and praising God that I have an opportunity to persevere and to resist the battle of giving in. I got strong. I got strong. And when I got off the mower, I went to the front yard. He was cleaning up the glass. Thank you for doing that. I went to the front yard and I calmly picked up my phone and started calling for estimates and taking care of the situation. And they're like, have a nice day. And I'm like, did you hear? I have a broken window. There's a hole in my window, you know, and they're telling me have a nice day. And I resisted snapping and saying, I am having a very blessed day. Bless you as well. Thank you for your time. And then I got somebody that's coming and giving me favor because the glass people are really busy. Must be a lot of rocks today. But they gave me favor and they're coming on Monday versus 2 weeks from now, right? So I'm just using this as an example because when we put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. Because I'm telling you, while you're preparing a message like this, the devil wants to take you down. He wants to say, you can't preach that to anybody. And God said, don't grow weary. Don't lose heart. So who am I going to listen to? Not my old enemy friend that used to be around all the time. I'm going to listen to Jesus because he's freely received. I freely received. I'm freely going to give it out again. I don't want to be trapped up in the things of the devil ever again, ever again. And I have to choose, even with my husband standing there going, and I'm like, can't right now because I got to pray. I got to pray. He said, resist, resist, resist. And the only way I could do that in my flesh was to pray because it was a really rough week. A really rough week. This week's going to be better. So we are to continue standing firm and draw that strength from Jesus and all those faithful witnesses, right, in the previous chapter, chapter 11. In verse 5 and 6, let me take a drink here. Okay, 5 it says, and you have completely, and have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Okay, so I'm going, all right, so you're telling me you're disciplining me. Okay, it's not discipline as I'm a bad daughter. It's discipline in I love you so much, I'm going to help you perfect your faith. You know, when I was pregnant, we took Lamaze class, and they said, how are you going to punish your children? You two should talk about it. And we had not thought about that. I was raised with a heavy hand. He was raised with hardly a hand. And it's like, how are we going to do this, right? He's a good guy, and his dad didn't have to whip on him. I got a lot of whippings, but the response he gave was, we're not going to lay hands on our children unless it is life-threatening. If they stick a fork in an outlet, we are going to spank. We want them to know this is dangerous. This is not going to be good. And so I got on that same page, and I said, yeah, because you get more bees with honey than you do by yelling and screaming. I know that. I know that. And that is the way we chose to raise our kids. And so I'm thankful for that, that they said that at Lamaze class. How are you going to discipline your kids? God disciplines us both ways. If we step over and we're about to walk into a busy street and get hit like the ducks, we want him to stop the traffic, right? We want him to stop the traffic and let us go across, but he's going to talk to us while he walks us across. And I, for one, am grateful because I could be a really rebellious child. I'm just telling you. Right, Ryan? We can be that way. We can be that way. Yeah,
throw me in there.
Oh, yeah, because I'm looking.
I'm not the geese or the duck. The street.
Proverbs 4, 20 to 27. My son, we are all rebellious, just so you know. My son, listen to this word. My son, pay attention to what I say. I love Proverbs 4, 20. He says, listen closely to my words. He is crying out in love for us. Listen closely to my words. I'm trying to help you. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them. And listen to this, and health to a man's whole body. Say that again. Your words are life to my body? Well, I think I want to know more of your words. I want to understand, because Jesus is the living word, so we want more of Jesus, right? Then it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. It is our source, I'm throwing in my own here, it is our source for continual supply of spiritual knowledge. Our heart is aligned with God. If you're in his word, you're starting to see that he wants to change you. That is love. That is not discipline as an angry dad. That's in love. Go back to the word, but put away perversity from your mouth. Here he's telling you what all you got to do, and this is where your rebellious spirit in you wants to say, but put perversity from your mouth. I used to be a truck driver, and I had a truck driver mouth, and my mother called me that. Those words are no longer used through this mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Who's before you? That's your question, right? What's directly before you? Is it Jesus? Because that's what we want. He should be the mirror we're looking in. He wants to reflect back through us. So if that's not in what's in front of you, change your gaze. Change your gaze. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. Think about that. You know, you're walking on a path in the woods and they wind around, right? And sometimes they're soft areas, sometimes they're hard areas. He's saying, make it level. With me, I can keep you going levelly. But when we go off the path and we go over here, we get our feet tangled up in the poison ivy and the thorn bushes, like a deer or something, you know? We want to stay on the level path with God. So in that, Proverbs 4, it says, God lists many body parts in this verse. If you didn't hear him, go back and look. That was Proverbs 4, 20 through 27. He lists many body parts in this verse, and he is speaking to our flesh. And he's guiding us to stay focused on Jesus, to level our walkways and make our journeys easier. Well, that's a loving father, is it not? Wanting to make our journeys easier? This is God's plea for us to stay on the right path and to be in righteous living. He's asked for this from the beginning of time. He has given boundaries to people, the children of Israel. He's given boundaries to us through the word. He wants us to stay on the path so we can get there easily, but we make it hard. So discipline is from God, and it is an expression of his love to guide us towards this righteousness. This thwarts the enemy. Remember, I love that word, thwarts the enemy. Ha ha, devil, because what he means for evil, God turns for good. I love that God turned my life for good and the devil was thwarted. And when I resist getting off the mower and screaming and crying and being frustrated, I'm still in righteousness and I can thwart the devil. He didn't get in and get my husband and I fighting with each other. Praise the Lord. Okay, this process brings us to a spiritual maturity. How many of you want to mature in the Lord? Not just sit here and soak up Sunday morning for 2 hours and go home. We want to mature. We want to become what Christ wants us to become. Did you know even Jesus had to be disciplined by his Father? In Hebrews 5, we read this a couple months ago. Hebrews 5, 8, 9, son, though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. That's something, isn't it? So he suffered, but it was because of obedience that he went through that. So when we're going through something that's hard, let's change our perspective to, I am being trained by God. I am maturing. I like that. I'm going to grow up. This is awesome. Discipline is on our part is listening to his instruction and lining ourselves up to it. I want to be lined up to God. I want to grow up. I don't want to always forever be sitting in the, and no offense to you back row people, back row. That's where I sat in my old church, and then you're sitting in my seats. Do you feel the anointing? It is but the old church, I sat in the back so I could sneak in and sneak out. Didn't have to talk to anybody. Nobody knew anything about me. I was always struggling and anyone may call me out. There was no fear of that in that church. But I'm telling you, we want to move. I moved to the front today to be different and to be ready to preach this message. I want to do something different for God. I want to mature. I want to walk in the newness of God. Thank you, Lord. All right, so in my testimony journey, I was sick for over 30 years with one thing or another. And if God had healed me every time I needed it right away, I wouldn't be here today. I'm telling you, I had one attack after another from the enemy. I started young. And every time I went through something as an adult, I went to my Bible. I went to God. I said, God, why am I having thyroid problems? Why am I having cancer? Why am I having, and the list could go on and on and on because I went through many, many, many sicknesses. And I went to the Bible, and one of the times he just said to me, the only time you listen is when you're here. So I have you here. He was teaching me that I need to seek him in between the things? Because if we just went, God, heal me. God, heal me. He's a genie in the bottle, and you never get to know who he is. You just go to him because he'll heal you right away, and you can march on with your sin. Well, that's not who he is. He's a loving God. I'm not saying you're sick because he's disciplining you. I'm telling you the devil brought it on you, and to get out of it, you got to seek God to know him more. The more you seek God, you thwart the devil. The more you thwart the devil, the more you live righteously, and the healing comes, because that's who God is. That is what happened. I was here getting discipleship and finding out that Jesus already paid it. Did you know in Psalm 103, it says that we have benefits? We've talked about this before. Benefit package number one is that he did my sins. He forgave my sins, and I already believe that. I already know I'm going to heaven, but I wasn't living that way. But I matured. And so he forgave my sins. And then it says, he also heals your diseases. And I was like, wait a minute. I didn't read that before. Yeah, he does both at once. Boom. His body on the cross took care of all sin. And sickness is sin from the world. So be asking yourself, do I believe in my benefit package? Maybe you need to go look it up, Psalm 103. Go look up your small print. Read what benefits you have and start receiving that. That's what we need to be doing. He's paid the price for sin, and healing is a healing, a wholeness in us when we live righteously with Christ. I am thankful that he did not heal me immediately, because I would not know who he is right now. I wouldn't have that relationship that I have with him right now. And we will never stop getting to know how amazing he is, and not even close. And that is exciting, because that means you can keep reading and reading and reading, and he will keep revealing layers of himself over and over and over. And if you think you've got him down, you don't. Sound like Matt, don't I? That's a good thing. All right, let's get back to Hebrews, verse 7. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children, for what children are not disciplined by their father? I am thankful he's my father. I didn't know that for a long time either. I knew his Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but I didn't understand he was my father. He's my father, my savior, my personal. I can go to him and cry on his lap every day if I want to. He'll receive me. He'll allow me to, but then he'll say, get up, plant your feet. Fight back, right? I gave you all authority to fight against the enemy. So go do that, my child. Go do it. Be disciplined in our training to fight. We are warriors in Christ. The ending has already been said. We're already victorious. So why would we not? If you know the ending, why would you not? All right, let's skip to verse 11. It says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. This week was painful. It was very painful. But it says later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. I was trained this week. I had an opportunity to be trained. God didn't plan it that way, but it came out that way. Because at the end of the week, I could have been boo-hooing about everything that happened. Instead, I chose to be trained and to stand up against it. He will provide the money for all of those things that I'm talking about. And I'm still hilariously going to give, because he'll bring it back, right? We endure. The word there at the beginning said, we endure. Why? So that God can produce in us this harvest of righteousness and peace. When we endure, those seeds of endurance are there, and what's going to come up is peace in our lives. We can choose that. We can choose to live in righteousness and harvest peace anytime we want. We don't think we can. The minute that rock hit the window, I was like, whew, I don't know. But I could choose that, and I could bring a harvest of it, and it came immediately, really. Got off the mower, took care of the problem. My husband and I went on with our day. It happens. It happens. But we could have chose a different route, and it would have been ugly. All right, so we must allow ourselves to be trained by discipline, even though it is rigorous and an intentional progress. Rivka's been teaching us in prayer workshop to be intentional. We have to be intentional with our relationship with Jesus. If I wanted to harvest peace out of this week, I had to be intentional. Get back on the mower. Throw up your hands and say, huh, it's all you, God. Because that's it. That's all that could happen if I want to walk in that peace. If we allow ourselves to be trained by it, we can be shaped and molded like clay into what God wants to use for his kingdom purposes. Do you realize if none of that would have happened this week, or if I'd have chose a different route, you wouldn't have been hearing about it right now, right? You wouldn't have heard the example that he gave me in this. I wouldn't have shared any of it because I would have been embarrassed about what happened. But God molded that, he shaped it, and he said, now tell him about it. This is how you do it. This is how you activate it. Let's go to verses 12 and 13, and then we'll land the plane. I love to say that just like they do. Land the plane, because, you know, we got to circle the airport a couple more times. Therefore, all right, it says, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. This is why I preach this message, those two verses for a healing service. I want to know what those things mean, don't you? It says, therefore, we've already talked about that once, but therefore means pay attention and let's put some application to this teaching. All right, so we're talking about healing. We need healing from our emotions, our mental, our physical, some people maybe spiritual, right? Feeble arms. There's no slamming going on. This is the word of God. Feeble arms speaks of weariness and lack of strength. You know, when you carry things and you're carrying something heavy, your arms feel feeble. They feel weak and you start shaking and you can't wait to put it down. That's what we're talking about here. When you're talking about needing more of God, it's a weariness, like you've been carrying this load for a very long time. And it talks about lack of strength because you're weakening, because you've been carrying the load for a very long time, right? So let's talk about this. It's associated with discouragement or fatigue in the spiritual journey. How many of you felt that before or are going through that right now? It's a fatigue. It comes on and you're just, I'm just so tired of this, God. I am weary. I am weary. But he already knew that was going to happen. That's why he said, therefore, let's put this to the test. Let's give you application on how to get this help that you need. And I'm speaking to the people on live stream and podcast as well. All right. When you feel weary, lack of strength, discouraged in your journey, let's see what he says. Weak knee, weak knees. This symbolizes instability and fear. And it often is hindering the healing process. I know if somebody gets a diagnosis of cancer, there is instant fear, right? Because the word cancer, it's a word the world has associated with fear. You instantly go, whoa, and then you take a step back. Okay, I am stable. I'm not going to talk with the doctor about this. I am stable. I'm staying with Jesus. My God is a rock. My God is a firm foundation. My God is who I'm standing on. My God is who I'm looking at. I heard what you said, doctor. Thank you very much. But I am not going to be weak-kneed here. This is where I'm going to stand. This is where I'm going to get them armor pieces on me, and I'm going to stand and stand firm. That's what we're talking about today. By focusing on Jesus, we can choose to stand firm. We can choose to not be blown over by the situation, by the storm. The phrase, make level path for your feet. This is talking about aligning your life with God's will. And I think we already talked about it in Proverbs 4, that we already know that if we follow him, if we walk in righteousness, if we focus on him, our pathway is going to be level. It may take a little twist, turn here or there when you have a bad week, but it's going to be level. We're not going to be going up and down and up and down. Only your emotions go up and down. Okay, we have emotions. We live by them a lot, but let's live by faith. If we live by faith, the path levels out and you can start saying to yourself what I just said. My God is a mighty God. My God has made a way. My God does this and my God does that. You speak to that up and down hill emotion and make that path level. Just think of it as a bulldozer. My faith can do that. Your faith can do that. Because he's made a way. He's made a way. What did he say at the beginning? Focus. Focus. And then it says, so that the lame. Who are the lame? You know, in America, well, I don't know about other countries. In America, we've used the word lame as somebody who's not right, not normal, whatever. Lame. You're so lame. Whatever. This word says, those that are weak in faith are struggling spiritually. Okay, well, that's all of us at some time, right? I was lame for 30 years. How many of you feel lame? You know, where you're like dragging your leg, you're dragging your feet, you're lame. You're not walking levelly on the path. This says that so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. So if we go back and read it again, therefore strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Does your Bible say that? But rather healed. He's already made a way right there. He said, but rather healed. What's God's will for you right there? That you be healed, that you not be lame, that you not be carrying all this stuff on your body, on your mind, on your emotions. So don't live by your emotions, live by faith. That's the beauty of faith. Faith can have you rise up above the situation and look down at it and say, ha ha, my God. Ha ha, my God right here next to me, this big guy. He has already made a way for me. And when you get there and take that perspective, your focus has completely changed. So let's talk about my Father's house of healing. Y'all know it's coming, right? We've been talking about it for quite a while. I want you to see yourself as a part of it. If you're part of this church, it's part of the mission of the church. We want to respond with God's love and discipline, or with vigor and a renewal of commitment to the process that he's set up before us as a church here at My Father's House. If you are a part of this church, or you've been equipped by this church in any of the classes or anything, we want you to be a part of God's love to help the lame. Okay, the lame, those people that are struggling, that are weakened. We want to focus our eyes on what he's called us to do. We go all the way back up to the top, the mandate of heaven, right? What is the mandate in your heart for this mission at this church? Usually when you go to church, a lot of people go because they like the coffee. Well, we don't have a big old coffee station. They go for the music, YouTube. That's what we have. We're not focused on those things. And obviously the pastors aren't dressed to the nines all the time, some of them, but it ain't about that. It's about Jesus. It's about focus on Jesus. And so when we go to a church, we need to find out what's their mission. What is their goal? What is their vision for me? What are we supposed to be doing? I never knew to check into those things before, but I want to be a part of a church that has the mission of Jesus Christ. I want to be a part of a church that's walking in direction of Jesus Christ, in setting people free, in healing the sick, in doing deliverance. I want to be a part of that church. That's what's important. It's not about the building. I'm glad you're all here. I'm so glad you're all here. We are called to the mandate of heaven, the ministry of Jesus Christ. The goal is to bring healing and restoration to those in need. Does that line up with the Word of God? Yes. Are you a part of that? Yes. Huh?
Yeah.
There we go. We want to operate in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, who heals the brokenhearted and he sets the captives free. Amen. Healing is spiritual. And revelation can bring physical restoration. I know when I sat in my churches for all those years, no one told me these things. No one told me these things. And I, my fault, did not open the Bible enough to know. So we are given the mandate to bring wisdom to people, to speak the word over them. When people align themselves with God's will, healing can happen for them because God already sent his son to pay the price. We look to Jesus because he is the one who brings the transformative power to our earthly bodies. And you heard a few testimonies earlier. There are plenty of people in here with testimonies of healing. And healing is what we're all wanting. And I'm talking about wholeness. I'm not talking about my leg feeling better. I am talking about wholeness, the right relationship with God. That should be the ultimate goal, so that when we get to the gates, we don't hear, I don't know you. I don't know you. And I would have heard that. I would have heard that if somebody wouldn't have said, this is the gospel, the wristband right here. That if somebody wouldn't have told me about the relationship, a different kind of relationship than just knowing who he is, but being with him, I would have heard, I don't know you. There's a lot of people out there with, I don't know you, written right across their forehead. Healing is spiritual first. And then it goes out from our spirit to heal us mentally, emotionally, and physical. The goal here is to focus on Christ in a continual process, doing these three things. And if you're a note taker, get ready. Three things. This is what he's told our church to do. This is what we're doing. One, we are aligning our lives with his teaching and his will. That should be what we tell every single person that comes. Align your life with him and he will straighten it out. I don't have to straighten you out. He will do it. He will do it, right? Number two, imitating his character as a disciple of Christ. This is why I already talked about Christian versus follower versus disciple. I want to be a disciple of Christ, that I am so close to him. I'm in his armpit, as I like to say, if I'm a shadow of his wing. I'm right there with him. I am walking with him. I am right there. I don't want to miss a thing. I don't want to miss anything he wants to do by using me or watching what somebody else does through them. I want to be right there. So I want to imitate his character as a disciple of Christ. And number three, maintaining a close relationship with the Father through faith and prayer. That's what it takes. Last week I said, make sure you get to the prayer meeting this morning. Two people came off of that. So we made some progress. But the prayer meeting is the most important part of the service, is preparing to meet the Father in the prayer time. And if we want this building to come, this center where we're going to minister, I really got to tell you, you got to be in the prayer time, because he works through that. That's when he talks to you. So as the body of Christ, we can support people in their spiritual journey by encouraging them to restore their relationship with the Father through faith in the Word, prayer, and discipleship. This church is all about discipleship. In fact, on our bookmark, Go Equip Love, you will see it. That's the mission of this church. It's been for 30 years. The Healing Center is the mandate to get there to do that. They're discipling. We're raising up disciples right now. Then God can bring the wholeness and healing to every area of the people's lives, our lives and their lives. So when people come, you don't have to say, God, will you heal them? Will you heal them? No, we already know that he will. He's already told us. He already told us this hand is going to lay on the sick and they're going to recover. Do you believe it? If you believe it, you should be laying hands all over everybody. Yeah, we should. We should. All right, let's pray. I want to first make sure that everybody understands salvation is a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is not just, I know you, Jesus, your name is Jesus. We sang the song, his name is Jesus. But if you don't know him personally as your Savior, then you need to realign and make sure you do. Get into that salvation package. You don't want to enter into heaven and find out, or step up to heaven and find out, I don't know you. God, we want to know you. We want to know you more. And we thank you for that revelation of a relationship with you. God, I pray that every person that's hearing the sound of my voice checks out and makes sure that they're in a relationship with you. The one that says, I'm a sinner and I repent for my sins and I turn away from them, God. We turn away from our sins so it does not entangle us and give us that rough path that we go on. We go on because of our own problems, God. We want to change and we want to turn our focus to you. We want to be unentangled from the world and we want to walk into that relationship with you where we can persevere for the race that you've marked out for us. We thank you, Jesus, for salvation. We thank you for the gift of repentance. And we thank you for taking us deep, 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 deep into the river of life where we can find others and we can swim along with them, God. We thank you for that, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. Also, you heard me repent. If you have something that is holding you back, you need to repent of it. You need to say, I repent, and I promise God I will turn away. And if you need help turning away, then come forward. We're going to repent. We're going to say we're sorry. We're going to say, I will put down that thing, whatever he's speaking into your heart. Take a minute. Look inside of yourself. God, we want to repent so that we can receive all that you have for us today. Search your heart. Lay it down. If you need to come to the altar, do so. Run to the altar. This is your chance. This is your chance to say, Jesus, I have messed up But I want to move away from that. I want to unentangle myself. I want the people to help me cut those cords to the past. I want those poison ivy poisons to go away from me, to get off me. I want to be free in the name of Jesus. I want to be free in the name of Jesus. Freedom comes from Him, through Him, and only through repentance can you receive that. And so thank you, God. Our lip service of I want to be free doesn't work. It's our hearts saying, I repent. It's our hearts bowing down to Jesus and humbling ourselves. And so right now is the moment that you can do that. I repent, God. We repent, God. We turn away from our sins. And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for loving us through whatever we're doing. We repent, God, and we come down to the altar and we just bow to you, God. We place ourselves on the altar and we place ourselves there and say, burn off the things that are not of you so that I can be free today, so that I can be free to move, so that I can be free to breathe, so that I can be who you want me to be, God. I'm tired and I'm weary and I'm sick of being feeble and weak-kneed. I'm sick of being lame. I want to be free, God. I want to be on the other side. I want to walk with people who will help other people be free. And so, Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for that gift. And then I want you to receive forgiveness for yourself. Okay? If you've repented in your heart, receive His forgiveness. He's that easygoing. He loves you. He wants you to understand that you have been forgiven. And if you've really done all of that in your heart with Him, then He forgives you. So receive it. Oh, I messed up yesterday, God. Woo, and I told that person off. Bum, 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 bum. I repent and I turn away and I receive the forgiveness for myself. Thank you, Lord. The next thing, I want you to give forgiveness to somebody else. Who is it that wronged you? Who else in your heart are you holding something against? Is there someone? Think back. He'll bring it to you. I forgive them, Lord. I am not going to let myself be held back because of somebody I don't see anymore in my life. I'm not going to allow myself to be held back because of someone that's in my face every day. Oh, God, thank you for the opportunity to be perfected in faith. I refuse to hang on to anything. I just forgive them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. I'm not giving in to them. I'm giving in to you. I'm giving in to you. I forgive them. I forgive them because you said, if I don't, you won't forgive me. I don't want to be held back because of that. God, unforgiveness is what opens the door to so much bad. It opens the door to emotional problems, mental problems, and then stems into my physical body. So we forgive. We want to be like Jesus. He forgave those on the cross, hanging and dying. He forgave them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus, we need you, Jesus. Come into their hearts right now, Jesus, and touch them that they're able to say it. Whether they have it all done up in their heart right now is not the point. The fact is that they say, I forgive them. I forgive them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. These are the doorways that have to be opened so that Jesus can flow. All right. Now, what I want to do right now is ask, who needs healing? Who needs healing?
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.